Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Yes, and tonight we kick off what promises to be yet another absorbing series of conversations with our Open House human condition guru, clinical psychologist Lynn Worsley. I honestly wonder where she digs up all these great conversation starters. This time, liars and cheaters. They're all in our lives. Why are people like this, and how can we possibly live with them? Lynn, welcome back. It's great to see you.
Thanks.
Welcome back. Tell us why we are lifting the lid on these scoundrels, first of all, Lynn.
Well, this week and the next, we'll look at the research of lying and cheating and how this affects us in our own self-development and the importance of discerning our lying behaviour. Okay. So it's not just other people. This is everybody.
There's a little bit of in each of us.
Yeah.
Are we born with the ability to lie? Are we kind of wired for it?
Well, conventional child development wisdom long held that young children were not cognitively or thinking in their thinking ability able of lying.
Okay.
But more recently, the researchers found that most children learn to lie effectively between the ages of 2 and 4.
Oh, how depressing. Actually,
yeah.
That's so young.
Well, the first successful lie marks the child's discovery that her mind and thinking are separate from their parents, and this same understanding is marked by her discovery of the word no.
Yes, okay.
Which helps young children to work out the boundaries between what they want and what the other people's feelings are.
Is that what it's about, boundaries or their own kind of rights? What are the reasons a child will learn to lie?
Well, from about the age of 4, children learn for many the same reasons that adults do. Children lie to avoid punishment, they lie to gain an advantage or to protect against an unwanted consequence or to boost their own self-esteem. Mm. And children, like adults, sometimes lie to demonstrate power or to maintain privacy or protect a friend. And when a child lies, she's essentially trying to change a situation or to reconstruct things the way that she wants them. And lying is a form of social development. You can lie to be polite, and most adults will lie to not offend somebody.
Yep, that goes on a bit.
Okay, so you can also avoid saying anything, which in itself is also a lie. And children observe their parents and adults, and they learn to keep under the radar when they've done something wrong.
Yes.
But overall, lying and cheating is not something we really want our children or anyone else to do, for that matter. But what we know about with lying, it's to do with the moral development.
Okay.
Those that have a respect for another person will respond in a way that is for that person's greater good. Lying and cheating generally is a result of trying to protect yourself and to avoid any trouble. So you're not actually considering the other person.
That's why it happens most of the time, would you say?
Most of the time.
Okay.
But I think it's also in stages of development, there's actually different types of lying. So in the early stages of moral development, you lie to look good or to feel better or stop getting into trouble. But later stage, you may actually lie for the moral good of another.
So, now that's an interesting ethical dilemma.
Yeah.
How do we learn to lie? Okay, so we learn it. How's that process work out then?
Well, just like everything else, children learn to lie from people around them. Parents and educators teach children in subtle and not so subtle ways to suppress their honesty. So look at that funny man, a child will yell, or I don't like this, or a child will say about a gift from grandma,
yes.
Or yuck, she says about a food that she doesn't like.
Yeah.
And oftentimes they might point at someone and say that they're really fat, but they shouldn't say that.
Yes.
But adults slowly teach the children that this kind of honesty isn't really welcome and that there's a fine line between telling the truth and not hurting other people. And children often observe active lying by adults in their lives. And one study that I've been reading about today found that adults admit to lying on average of 13 times a week.
Not a day.
No.
I wouldn't be surprised with some if it happens a day. It's a bit sad if kids are picking that up from their adults.
Yeah, but there's a subtle thing as well, because when someone has Asperger's or high functioning autism, one of the difficulties is that they don't lie. and that we need to teach them to lie.
Yeah, the social graces.
Because the social graces, I'll walk up to say something to someone and say, "Oh, you're fat," or you know, "Why do you have such a big nose?" Or
Which is the truth.
And we're just pointing it straight out. But, you know, they don't really know that those are the things that you don't say. So we actually teach them to lie.
Let me ask you this. There are levels of lies, I guess, like from the little white lies, or is that just a cop-out?
Well, there's a developmental progress in lying. Children become better at lying as they acquire higher-level strategies. So on the first level of lying, the child wants to achieve some goal or receive some reward by saying something she knows or believes to be false. Her intention may be to affect the listener's behaviour or to avoid punishment or receive a reward.
Sure.
At this age, wishes and imagination often get in the way of what's real. So sometimes a three-year-old will start telling a story and you'll hear it get out of hand as he adds bits and pieces to fit the ideas in his head. Lies at that age might succeed, but three-year-olds are generally poor liars because they fail to lie appropriately. Well, they give it away.
Whatever that means. That's right.
They don't consider what their listeners will think about either the statement or their intention.
Okay.
And as a result, they tend to lie at the wrong time and place, or they neglect to consider other important facts, such as how they'll conceal the deception and or cover up their tracks later on. But by age about four, children know the difference between telling the truth and lying, and they know it's wrong to lie. So generally, they're truthful. And when they're not, it's obvious, you know, I can't tell or I don't know sort of deal.
Yes.
But they also become more proficient at lying because now they're more cognitively capable of taking account of the listener's belief of the statement.
Okay.
So they're listening, the children are then watching body language and facial expressions on the people listening to them.
I know this is your bread and butter, but I'm rather surprised that such sophistication is happening around the age of four and five.
Yes, and you know, Lee, it's actually really good.
It
sounds horrible, but it's actually really good because socially, for a child to be able to pick up all of that, that means they're picking up all the social cues that are really important for them to be able to socialise in life.
But at the same time, this has really been an issue for me in the media and the news media because there's so much dodgy stuff said that may not be a lie, but it's leading me to think something else other than the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And I've often thought if you can't have the truth in that kind of context, you don't have relationship.
No.
How does that fit in here?
Well, I think with a child, if you look at it in terms of lying and development of a child and the development of our own lying ability at this age, you know, when we're an adult, a lot of what we're going through is picking up the subtleties and the changes in people's expressions and feelings when we say something or don't say something.
Yeah.
And as a child, we want to please and we don't want to get into trouble. So we will do things to try and make sure that we don't get into trouble or we do please. And if that means then we change what we say, then we'll do that.
Yes.
If we don't develop in ourselves as adults and come into our own self and have a confidence about who we are, we will continue to just try and keep people happy and want them to be, you know, somebody that, They like us, you know, that it's particularly about who we are.
Let me ask you this. If they're, say, 4 or 5 year olds, do they know whether a statement is true or not? Can they tell that?
Well, the 4 and 5 year old children understand the effects of a false message on a listener's mind, and they can understand when something is false and they can understand when something is true. But you know, I think if a child is starting to lie, remind yourself it's not really a crisis of morality.
Okay.
Remind yourself that it's actually a child is able to, you know, really start to develop in themselves.
Yeah.
In the way that they're actually picking up their social situations.
Okay.
But one of the things that I think you said earlier was that if there's a white lie, is it still a lie?
Yes.
You said something about white lies. Well, if we look at white lies, we can also see that there's blue lies, and that's a new term that's used in research.
Never heard of that one.
A white lie is when, you know, it's a little sort of like, I don't know, or I didn't really mean to do it or something. A blue lie is when someone is actually lying in a moral circumstance. And that's what we call for the common good. So if you're asked if you stole an apple and you know that that person who stole the apple took it for their starving family and they wouldn't cope with the punishment, the act of lying would in fact be a blue lie, which is meaning you're thinking of the other person.
Yeah.
So that again is where lying starts to look like a moral progress. So we've got a bit of a juxtaposition here. We've got lying is good and lying is actually an indication of social development.
I'm learning lots tonight, as always, in this segment. So to a parent, what can we do if our children start to lie? And where's the dividing line if there's some good in this and it's moral development and if it's doing stuff for the common good? What do we do?
Remind yourself that it's you know, it's not a crisis.
Okay.
It doesn't help to get outraged with about less than the truth. You know, telling a lie is a child's way of getting what he wants, which is normal and healthy. So start thinking, oh, this is great. They're at a point where they're actually developing well.
Yeah.
But it also doesn't help to investigate the story like a detective, you know, to try and catch them out.
Federal case.
It makes a child feel that they can't be trusted and that they're deviant.
Mm.
And that the act is most serious. Even when a child is 4 or 5 or older, they have to become aware of what truth means. You may or may not get the truth, but if you ask for it directly, they may not actually know what the truth means. So if you do get it, however, it's because you made him tell you the truth.
Yep.
So after he admits he knocked the blocks off the shelf, what have you gained? You have not encouraged him to take responsibility for his behavior. Actually, you're pressuring him. And you might tell him less than the truth next time. He might tell you less than the truth next time.
Yes.
So helping a child develop morality and responsibility for his actions over the long haul, that's the goal.
Yes.
So some strategies to do that. First of all, model the behavior that you expect to see in your children. Be trusting. Regulate your own emotions. Take the extra change back that you got when you went and bought bread.
That speaks.
It does.
The adult example in so many ways.
Even if it's 5 cents.
Yep.
You know, actively take it back and show them that that's what you're to do.
Yes.
Cool down before you do anything with a child. The calmer you are, the better the communication will be. The first order is to convey the message that a behavior for stealing or cheating or lying is wrong and then address why the child lied about it. Remember that some children will lie to avoid anger even more than to avoid punishment.
Yes.
So if you really want to talk about it, use the situation of lying as a source of moral development.
Okay.
So they're starting to see the social cues, use it and start enhancing it and getting them to understand what's happened.
Yeah.
So consider the goal of the child's lie. There's always a motive and a meaning behind what children tell us, and it won't hurt to ask yourself what your child is gaining by telling a lie.
Will it help to ask them what they're trying to achieve?
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. It may actually help them to understand what they are trying to achieve. They may themselves not necessarily know.
Yeah.
And point out the logical consequences of lying. Young children are very interested in the story of the boy who cried wolf. It's a great story to tell. And often nobody paid attention to the wolf, to the boy, because he kept telling lies about it. So when a child's able to change their story and tell you the truth, it's also reinforcing to let them know that you're really glad that they're able to do that. And it'll make it easier for them to tell the truth next time.
Is there anything that stops us from lying, even after we get caught and it's blown up in our face?
Well,
it'll likely happen again?
Well, what's really interesting is that there's been some really big links with attachment with another person and their person's ability to lie.
Explain what attachment is, because we've covered that in some very interesting concepts psychologically.
Now, attachment, when a child is born, they have an innate ability to attach to their mum, and the hormone oxytocin is released. And the mum attaches to the baby and the baby attaches to mum, and that's lovely and warm. Oxytocin is a hormone that's carried in the female body. But when there's a natural attachment in that time, the baby then has the ability then to attach to others as well. And what happens when someone has an attachment, they have an inclination to then try and please them or do good things for them.
Yes.
But what they've noticed is that people are less likely to lie if there is a natural attachment with that person that they're working with. Now, that doesn't always, there's a lot of mums out there that'll be saying, but that doesn't work for me because he keeps lying to me.
It's a bit tricky, isn't it?
But it's actually really interesting because there's been some new studies recently found of people who are on social network sites who are, online dating sites. And the number of predators that are on these online dating sites who are waiting to, get friendly with unsuspecting people and then ask them for money over time. Now, these people are able to do that because there's no attachment forming because they're not having that oxytocin release. They're not there. There's no face-to-face contact. So it's much more easy for them to, to cheat and to lie and to make out that this is relationship is much more than it is.
I was talking to Steve Krieger, our Open House new media and social media guru, a few weeks ago, and he said that Rick Warren, the great Rick Warren, who I'll be plugging for our next book soon, after he lost his son, who took his own life, there were so many false websites that popped up seeking to raise money and establish trusts in this kid's memory. It was all an invention, and there was no link, and he had
and
to...
There is lying in absolute...
Low life.
Yeah. And, some of the studies are saying with that because there's been no real connection physically, there's no attachment, so a person doesn't actually see that the person on the other end is actually a real person.
Yes. Yeah.
So they just think they're going to cheat the system.
Doesn't care much.
Yeah. So there's also a link for those people who have got face-to-face lying, who can face-to-face meet someone face-to-face and lie, and they actually show that these people have got a lack of oxytocin in their system.
The barefaced ones.
Yeah, and poor attachment at birth, which I think is very interesting. So I don't quite know where that's going to take us, but I read that one this morning and thought, oh, my goodness.
Maybe I'm right with numbers of individuals I've come across over the years. I've thought there are some childhood issues at work. Maybe that's true. Next week, very interesting series of conversations. Just tease us with where you're heading with liars and cheaters, Lee.
Well, I think what we might go through is what are some of the markers of someone who's lying? What are some of the indicators that tells us whether they're lying?
Yep.
And is there a difference between lying and exaggerating? And when does it become blurred? And can you be a compulsive liar or a strategic liar?
Can it be treated, maybe?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes, and how do you spot a liar?
Look forward to it. As always, Lynn Worsley, thank you so much. We'll see
you
next
week.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.